Open your spiral book to number one. It's good to have Jeff and Joyce Moyer with us from Pennsylvania. Glad you guys were able to be here. Next Sunday, they're going to be back next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're going to have lunch after service, so plan to come for that. All right, y'all help me out with this. We have come into this place, call upon his name and worship him. We have come into this place to call upon his name and worship him. We have come into this place to call upon his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this is the hard part. So forget about yourself, magnify his name and worship him. So forget about yourself and magnify his name and worship him. So forget about yourself and magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. We are debtors to his grace. The law's been satisfied, now worship him. We are debtors to his grace. The law's been satisfied, now worship him. We are debtors to his grace. The law's been satisfied, now worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. We are chosen in his grace, redeemed by his blood, now worship him. We are chosen in his grace, redeemed by his blood, now worship him. We are chosen in his grace, redeemed by his blood, now worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all our righteousness. I stand in him complete, now worship him. He is all our righteousness. I stand in him complete, now worship him. He is all our righteousness. I stand in him complete, now worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would send your Spirit in power and enable us to worship you in spirit and in truth, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Tom, the bulletin, the hymn on the back of your bulletin, let's stand together.
boast no more of all the duties I have done. I drop the hopes I held before to trust the merits of the Son. Now for the
Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke, Luke chapter 10. And we're going to read in verse 38, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. A very familiar passage. Now it came to pass. And we know that it came to pass because everything that the Lord has purposed and ordained in eternity will come to pass. It is certain. Just like the certain man, the certain woman, the certain place, it is so. As they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received into her house. And she had a sister. You recall, this is the family with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary that the Lord loved dearly, just like he loves his bride dearly. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And this is my prayer for all of us this morning, because I'm afraid I'm just like Martha. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. And don't miss this end here, which shall not be taken away from her. Lord is faithful to provide his word. That's why it's come to pass that we're here this morning. And my prayer is that he would give us his living bread, because he will not forsake. Just like that passage in Psalm 37:25. Never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He'll provide his word, and I trust he will do that through our brother here in a little bit. Let's pray. Our gracious and merciful Lord, that is our heart's desire this morning, that we would be at your feet to hear your word. Lord, we confess that we believe you, Lord, but oh, our unbelief has gotten the most of us, Lord, where our tensions, we're bothered by so many things in this world. And as we heard this morning, Lord, forgive us for being foolish in thinking that you are able to save our souls and yet not able to provide all that we need. Most importantly, contentment in thee. May you do that this morning now, Lord, once again. Speak to our hearts by sending your Holy Spirit in power, and we would see the truth of your word. And Lord, preach to us once again through our brother, asking that you would enable him, like us, to hear your voice. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and our unbelief. Increase our faith. Thankful again for what you did for the Hickmans. May you continue to grow them in your grace. For we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Let's all stand together once again. We'll sing hymn number 224 from the Hardback Hymnal. 224.
That he is able to keep that which committed unto him against that day.
Please be seated.
That, of course, is taken from Scripture, and the word committed in that passage of Scripture means to deposit. And what Paul was saying was, I know whom I've believed, and I've deposited everything on him. I've committed everything to him. All the hope of my salvation is in him. There's an article in your bulletin I would encourage you to read about assurance of salvation. And the conclusion of that article is that assurance of salvation comes not by what you think about yourself. Not whether you believe you're saved, not whether you believe you were saved or how you were saved or when you were saved. When you ask a religious person, do you know for sure that you're saved? They will tell you about an experience they had, or prayer they prayed, or a decision they made, or commitment they made, or an aisle they walked, and they'll nail that down, or a baptism. They'll say, I know I'm saved. I got saved on such a date. True assurance of salvation is found not in what one believes about themselves, but rather in what one believes about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I believe that Jesus, Jehovah does all the saving, is the Christ, the anointed one, sent of God to accomplish the salvation of his people? Lord, sovereign over the armies of heaven and all the inhabitants of the earth, and has this sovereign authority to do whatsoever he wills. So I believe on him. That's where assurance of salvation comes. And our hope this morning is that the Lord will give that to each of our hearts as he enables us to deposit everything on Christ. That we'll be persuaded. You ever had someone say, what's your persuasion? What's your persuasion? My persuasion is that I'm not able, but he is able. That's my persuasion. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. And I've titled this message, The Humanity of Christ. The Humanity of Christ. Now, you and I live in a world that has denied the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've stripped him of his deity. They've made him dependent upon his creatures in order for him to be able to have his way. He's not sovereign. He's not omnipotent. He's dependent upon man, making him Lord, inviting him into their lives, letting him have his way. His hands are tied. He's done all he can do. Now it's up to you. That's the message. And we unapologetically counter that message with, oh, no, that's not our God. That's not the God who is. The God who is will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. The God who is reigns sovereign on his throne and hath done whatsoever he wills with the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and no man can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Our God is God. We bow before him. He's the one who said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore you go. He will do with us whatsoever he wills. And in response to that, we bow and worship him as God. We find ourselves having no claim on him. We are but mercy beggars, pleading on him to have mercy upon us. That's our God. Now, my fear is that in emphasizing the deity of Christ, that we might lose sight of his humanity. He is the God-man. He's not sometimes God and sometimes man. He's not sometimes sovereign and omnipotent and sometimes compassionate. He is fully God and fully man all the time. It is his deity that brings us to bow and worship before him. And it is his humanity that enables us to believe that he has compassion on us. Now in Daniel chapter 10, we saw last Sunday that Daniel saw a certain man. A certain man. Turn with me, you have your Bibles open, to Daniel chapter 10. Look at verse 5. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. Oh, and he is. He's our priest. His loins are of pure gold, and that everything he produces is just like him. His body was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to burnished brass, and his voice the words of the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw him. Now this is the distinguishing particular grace of our God, who will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. Daniel was with other people, but they didn't see. Just like when Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus and the Lord split the heavens and spoke to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. What would you have me to do?" And the others that were with him heard a sound, but they didn't see him. And that's the way it always is. It's the way it is today. The Lord reveals himself to his people. God has never made himself known. He's never revealed himself to anyone other than his elect. He's the one who has the sovereign right to make us to differ. He made a difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And he continues to make a difference. And so Daniel alone saw the vision, for the men that were with him saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. Now that's what people do when they don't have a revelation of the God-man. They flee to hide themselves, to cover themselves up with their fig leaves. Therefore, I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. When God speaks, you lose all of your ability. You lose all of your strength. You're dependent upon him for everything. Here's what Paul said: when I am weak, then I'm strong. In that while we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Daniel says, my comeliness, my strength, my beauty, my ability, all the things that I was so proud of were turned in me into corruption. And that's the way it always is. It's the way it always is. The child of God hears the good news. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 14, thy renown. Now the Lord's speaking to his church and about his church and about his children. And he says, thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. For it was perfect through my comeliness. Oh, you see, when we're stripped of our comeliness, then we're clothed in his. Comeliness which I put upon thee, saith the Lord. We'll know nothing of his strength until we lose all of ours. Now that has to do with the sovereign, omnipotent deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face. My face was toward the ground. Truth is that the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be preached high enough. Sinners cannot be preached low enough, and grace cannot be preached free enough. That's the gospel. And here Daniel finds himself with his face in the dirt, confronted with the glorious God of the Lord Jesus Christ. It always happens that way. Always. And behold. Now again, let me remind you, all the horrible heresies that have leaked into, quote, Christianity have come as a result of denying either the deity or the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've come from one or the other. And we shudder at the thought of caricaturing our God. We want to understand him in the fullness of his glory. We want to be faithful to the revelation that he's made of himself in his word. And the revelation that he's made of himself is that he is fully God. He is a God to be worshipped. He is a God with whom we must do. He is a God who has the sovereign right over our lives. And at the same time, in the same person, he is a compassionate man who understands, we have not a high priest who cannot sympathize with our afflictions. He was in all ways afflicted as we are. Yet he himself was without sin. God was made man. God was manifest in the flesh. And now this God who is sovereign, this God who holds all men in his hands, takes that tender hand and he reaches down. That's why I want us to rejoice this morning in knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ is fully God, yes, and fully man. Behold, a hand touched me. Oh, what a hand this is. This is a hand that was without defilement. Who shall stand in thy presence? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. This is the man. The mystery of godliness is that this God was manifest in the flesh. This was a man who never lifted his hand to anything that wasn't holy. This is a man who took that pure, sinless, perfect hand and reached down and touched the eyes of the blind and opened them. He reached down and he touched the dead and raised them. He reached down and touched the leper and cleansed them. He did it with his hand. What a tender hand it is. And then at the end of his life, he was wounded for our transgressions. All the things that you and I have done with our hands, he was pierced through those sinless hands in order to satisfy the demands of God's justice for our sin. And now this hand, Daniel's got his face in the dirt. Daniel can't look up. Daniel's in a deep sleep. And the Lord Jesus Christ reaches down his hand and sets me upon my knees and my palms of my hands. Oh, this process of being, this foolishness that goes on in religion. Well, I've been touched by the hand of God, and they find these people just jumping up and leaping and laughing and having all kinds of foolish reactions. That's just the flesh. That's all that is. When the hand of God touches you, you get up real slow. You find yourself from your face in the dirt to being on your hands and feet, your hands and knees, thinking, is it okay? You see, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is progressive. It is progressive. Sanctification is not progressive. Salvation is not progressive, but revelation is. Revelation is. And as the Lord is pleased to reveal himself, we see a little bit more of his glory, not only in his deity, but also in his humanity. And we're encouraged to get up out of the dirt, get on our hands and knees, look around, think, is it okay? Is it okay? Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. Why? Because he said unto me, O Daniel, greatly beloved, greatly beloved. Brethren, if you and I could understand how much God loves us, we would never sin against him. Never. And forget this idea that God loves everybody. It's just not true. He loves righteousness and he hates iniquity. Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated. God's love is holy. God's love is pure. God's love is perfect. He doesn't love in measure. John chapter 17 makes it clear when the Lord's praying for his church. He said, Father, turn with me. John chapter 17. Verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. There's no difference. If you're in Christ, God Almighty loves you as much as he loves his only son. I don't understand that. I don't understand, but I believe it because the Lord said it. That's why John said, as he is, so are we in this world right now. Right now. His love is discriminating, yes. His love is perfect. Oh, Daniel. You say, well, I thought Daniel was a picture of Christ, and he is, because Daniel's name means God is my judge. God is my judge. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to stand before his Father, say, Father, judge me. Oh, it's not possible for my Holy One to see corruption. God Almighty was obligated to raise his Son from the dead because the Lord Jesus Christ was judged innocent. He was judged perfect. Bearing the sins of his people, he suffered the full wrath of God to put away our sins once and for all. And God was satisfied. God saw the travail of his soul, and God was satisfied. And when we're found in him, not having our own righteousness which is of the law, but that righteousness which is by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are judged by God as perfect as him. Sanctified once and for all. Perfect, sinless. Sinless before God. Now that's what the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ means to us. That God was manifested in the flesh. That God took for himself the likeness of sinful flesh, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them who were cursed by the law. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Had the Lord Jesus Christ not become a man, he would not have been able to bear our iniquities on Calvary's cross. And now he reaches down the hand of his humanity and he touches Daniel and he says, "Oh, Daniel, greatly beloved, get up." Get up, Daniel. It's okay. I've suffered for you. I've done this in order to put away your sin and in order to put my comeliness upon you. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In him. That's the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us his righteousness. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities and was in all ways tempted even as we are, yet himself without sin. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. This is the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Child of God, I want you to be encouraged to know that though our God is a God to be feared, though our God is a God of sovereign omnipotence, though our God is God, and sits upon the highest throne in all the universe, a God to be worshipped, he is a man. There is one man between God and man, the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest taketh from among men, is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmities. So the Lord's saying, he's going to liken the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest to these Old Testament priests. He's saying the Old Testament priests were taken from among men so that when he interceded on behalf of Israel, he could have compassion. He could empathize with the sins of the people because he himself was afflicted with the same thing they're afflicted with. That's why I can't listen to a preacher who preaches down to me. I want to know he's suffering the same things I'm suffering. He's dealing with the same things I'm dealing with. Don't preach at me, preacher. Don't preach down to me. Preach to me. Preach with me. I need to know that this message is for all of us. And that's what the Lord's saying. He's saying these priests, they were compassed with infirmities also, just like the people. And by reason thereof, he ought, as for the people, also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So the priest, the Old Testament priest, not only had to intercede on behalf of the sins of the people, but he had to intercede on behalf of his own sins. And he didn't take that honor upon himself. God chose him. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto you, "Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee." As he saith also in another place, "Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek," who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. That's the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. With strong tears and cryings, suffering the afflictions of this world just like you and I do, he presented himself to the Father. Though he were a son,
Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Come. Look at verse 15 of chapter 4. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, even as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace, that we might find help in our time of need. We've got a priest who understands our afflictions. Why? Because he was a man. So though we worship him as God, we're emboldened to get up out of the dirt. Get on your hands and knees if you must. The hand of God has reached down in the man, Christ Jesus the Lord, and he's touched sinners. And he's spoken to them. Let's go back to our text. Look what he says. The humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said, this world we live in has stripped our God of his deity, and they've made him nothing but a man. And I don't want to, you know, when you react to error, you're prone to err on the other side. We're like a pendulum, aren't we? And I don't want to react to the error of the denial of his deity by denying his humanity. Because therein we find our boldness to come to the throne of grace. We have a man. We have the God-man standing before God who understands our afflictions and reaches down his hand and touches us and says, Look, verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Greatly beloved. He's loved us with an everlasting love. Never been a time when he didn't love his children. You love your children. Can't be compared. Cannot be compared. The love that you have for your children is nothing. It's minuscule. It's hatred compared to his love. Oh, Daniel, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Come. To the throne of grace. Trembling, yes. Crawling, yes. But know that we have a man. We have a man who knows all about our sufferings. More than we could ever imagine. All that he suffered on Calvary's cross. Oh, infinitely more than you and I have ever suffered. And he said unto me, here's what I need God to say unto me. Fear not. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Fear not. How many times we read that? Why does God say so many times, fear not? Because he knew we'd be afraid. Anybody that's not afraid is a fool. You know, we've got lots of reason to be afraid, don't we? And the Lord saying, don't be afraid. The Lord Jesus Christ never fretted. He had perfect faith, didn't he? Whatever is not of faith is sin. Oh, we lack so much faith. We're like that man that the Lord healed his little girl, his 12-year-old daughter. And he cried with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And here's the means by which God helps our unbelief. He speaks to us and he says, fear not. Fear not. You are loved from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand. and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. The Lord had set Daniel's heart to pray 3 weeks earlier. 3 weeks he'd been seeking the Lord. During those 3 weeks, God was doing a work of grace in Daniel's heart. Mark this down. Prayer is not for changing God, it's for changing us. We're changing us. We're the ones that need to be changed. And God's ordained prayer. And through that process of prayer, our hearts are changed. Psalm 36 says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thy heart. And I used to think that that meant, well, if I just do everything right, then God will give me what I want. That's not what that means at all. You delight yourself in the Lord, and he will cause your desires through that delight to be his desires, and then he'll fulfill his desires. That's what that means. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll change the desires of your heart to become his desires and then fulfill those. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, the one chief prince. That's the literal interpretation there. Now, Michael is mentioned 4 times in the scriptures. And he's called the archangel. In other words, he's the messenger over all the messengers of God. And he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name means like God. That's what Michael's name means. Godlike. And here, Michael, the prince of Daniel, stands against the prince of the power of the air. That's who the prince of Persia is a picture of here. Satan himself. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to destroy the works of the devil and to deliver his people out from his dominion. He broke down the gates of hell and came to lead captivity captive. You and I come into this world captive to Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ successfully redeemed all his people. He said, Michael withstood me. The prince of Persia withstood me, but Michael stood against him. When the scripture says of Michael in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel. That's not an angel adding to the voice of, that's the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Malachi chapter 3, he's called the messenger of the covenant. And in Jude chapter 9, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil over the body of Moses, would not bring an accusation against him, but said unto him, the Lord rebuke thee. Michael contended with the devil over the body of Moses, and he still is. The body of Moses, what is the body of Moses? He's not talking about the physical body of Moses. He's talking about the law. That's the body of Moses. And the accuser of the brethren uses the law to try to put you under the law. Isn't that true? And Michael the archangel would not contend with the devil over the body of the law, but said to the devil, go to my father. Go to my father. Ask him if the law has not been satisfied. Ask him if the accusations that you're making against my children are true. He'll tell you that I am the end of the law for everyone that believeth. The law's been fulfilled. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't have to contend with the devil over the law. He just says, the Lord rebuke you. I've satisfied the law. Michael, our God-man, stands against the devil, points him to the Father, and the Father says, oh no, that's my son. I'm pleased with him. I'm going to reach down and touch my Daniels. I'm going to get their face out of the dirt. I'm going to put them on their hands and knees, and I'm going to stand them trembling, and I'm going to give them understanding of the message. And here's the message: the devil's been defeated. You have a man who understands all your afflictions. Yes, he's God, but he's a man. Come to him. He's a man full of compassion. He's a man that, oh, Daniel, if you knew how much he loved you, you'd never sin against him again. Come. Come. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word, and oh, how we do pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal to us the fullness of the glory of thy dear Son. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen. Number 225 in your hardback hymnal. Let's stand together.
Till trapped.